Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Pete Quinnell. Chopper, 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 chopper.
Is that like air horns you were giving me there? Just Chopper Pete. Hi, how's it going?
Pretty well. We're busy today.
We're very busy today.
Which is a foreshadow of the shortened intro, outro, and middle of this entire episode.
Beginning, middle, of end have just been compressed slightly. We're struggling a little bit with Luke being away. Plus, we've got several other things going on today.
I think we would have been okay if it wasn't for the other thing that we can't talk about yet.
It's busy day, busy, busy day. But it's fine because we've just about managed.
I feel bad because I was actually at home watching One Night Stand all morning.
Oh, were you? Yeah.
And you've been here writing. And present. You've made two massive videos already.
Yes.
This is your third, without break or food.
Correct. Yeah. It's fine. I've watched most of One Night Stand, I haven't. I haven't finished it yet because again, I kind of ran out of time. I was watching most of it this morning, but then I ran out of time because I also had to write a script and then record and all that stuff. So, yeah, a bit stretched today, but it's okay because we're going to do some fun stuff later.
Yeah.
Which will hopefully be relaxing. Anywho, that sounded a bit weird out of context. Let's not talk about that. We've got an email here from Vacant. It says, "Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Chopper Pete, housemate Simon, and everyone at WrestleTalk. Even Randy..."
Don't finish that for him.
But then he says, ... nerd.
Yes.
In all capitals, so I guess it should be... It's like the Gallows and Anderson. Nerd!
Did you read out any Blake Ham stuff yesterday?
There was one that was like featured a Blake Ham, you piece of crap. But we'll come on to that in a little
bit. Okay, all right, yes.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a little bit. So this one was sent quite a while ago, like a couple weeks ago. And he says, the person says, "I have been going through my A-level exam in the past few weeks. At the time of writing this email, I have done 6 out of 9 A-level exams.
69.
Yep, nice. I have been stressed and worried for months building up to this exam. These exams, it seemed like my whole future depends on them. I've been having sleepless nights on what-if scenarios if I fail my exams, and I'm ashamed to say it, but I went into a spell of depression and stupidly had a suicidal thought. I started listening to you guys while I was revising and I was lying down in bed to go to sleep. You guys made me a whole lot less anxious and worried. I'm now planning on taking a gap year to try and find myself whilst I travel for about 6 months and backpack around Australia, New Zealand and Asia. I understand that exams and qualifications are important, but what is more important is my mental health. Even if I don't get into my first choice uni, there will always be other options. Sorry for the long email, but this is basically me saying thank you so much for turning my life around and giving me an outlet to escape from the world and feel like I am involved in a conversation for a few hours a week. Much love from Vacant."
Ah, well, I'm glad to hear that's all going better, Vacant. Mm. I guess it's by the by now, but A-levels really don't matter in the long run.
Yeah, no, not at all. Like, they really don't. Like, you always think that there's... The next stage in your life you always think is the most important thing. Mm. Like, I thought GCSEs, man, so important. Can't you know, do what I want to do if I don't get good GCSEs. A-levels, so important. My degree, so important. And now it's not. Don't use any of those things in the job I have. So
it's effectively like a BuzzFeed quiz on which Harry Potter character you are. That's how important most of these things are. Yeah. It's all about the life experience, my friend. Yeah. And that's what you have done by getting through some tough times. You've leveled up, and now you're going to travel the world and get even more experience. Experience points, you're going to become Charizard. That's a Pokemon thing for you, Pete.
It's a very Pokemon thing.
I'm very glad to hear you're better.
Yeah.
And that we could do some small part in getting you through. Mm-hmm. But that was mostly you. That got yourself through.
Absolutely, mostly you.
Although we will take full credit.
I'd say 97.
Partial credit.
Cool, we'll just have a quick one then, which is a follow-up from Blake Ham himself.
Blake Ham. Should we give a recap?
Yeah, I was going to say, for those who missed it on the, I think it was the SmackDown Ramble, maybe the Raw one, can't remember. We had an email from a guy called Blake Ham.
It's a damn cool name.
Which is a great name. And he emailed in and it was, as a WrestleTalk get better, and said that he wants to, you know, lose weight because he's sick of not being in shape and all that things. And then he listed the fact that he's 20, has his third kid on the way, has a wife going through nursing school, he's going through law school, and I think had another job at the same time. And he was like, oh, but I don't have enough time to work out. And it's like, well, yeah, no kidding, because you're too great already. And he sent a picture with his lovely wife and kids, and they all look amazing. It's just,
yeah,
he's so good already.
He doesn't look like he needs to work out.
No, he looks in good shape already.
Yeah, it was effectively I took it as a humble brag.
Yeah.
and we maybe in jest said that everyone should write in, screw you, Blake Ham. When you say hello to everybody.
Which they have.
Yes.
We'll get onto those later. But we've had a very brief follow-up from Blake Ham himself. He said, is my new gimmick Matt Hardy V1? If so, I have tons of fun facts about myself. Also, my last name is not actually Ham anymore. Long story. Also, Ollie, you're a piece of crap.
Oh, that's fine.
Much love, Blake from Texas.
When you teased this email to me, mm-hmm. I was worried that Blake Ham was actually angry with me.
There's a sideways slanty emoji after the you're a piece of crap, but
that's okay.
I think it's fine. I think he's still in jest.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it ever gets too real for you, Blake Ham, just tell me.
Yeah.
And we'll dial it back.
Then we'll have people stop calling you a piece
of
crap.
You are the best of all of us.
You are. So stop being a piece of
crap. You're a complete human being, Blake Ham.
And you're 20.
So if you... Yeah, I want to know all of your facts.
Yeah, please. Send them all in.
Yeah. And I also want to know this long story about your last name as well.
Not being Ham anymore.
It's probably Blake Turbo. He was like, God, why am I stuck with this rubbish last name?
Blake Maximus.
Oh, I'm just like, oh, I've got the worst last name. I'll change it to Ham, which is still pretty cool.
Oh, it's good. So I think that's going to be it for the intro portion of this. So let's get into the main portion of the show where we'll be talking about should WWE scrap the wild card rule? Here's the show.
Lance Storm urges. I mean, think so. Well, yes, we are kicking off with Lance Storm's incredible suggestion,
mm-hmm.
a bit of advice. An idea that he's come up with, that he's tweeted out there, we must be clear, it was in no way an urge.
Definitely not urging WWE to do anything. Just an idea, an opinion that he had. Crazy idea that he decided to tweet. What's up with these guys? We're going to move these real quick. Sorry. It was very important to get the wrestling figures and the Wrestle League trophy in good view. Yeah, and it's a really good idea.
It's a good idea.
I really like it.
if you haven't seen, Lance Storm tweeted earlier this week, can we just unify all these damn titles and make the champions the wild cards? Which is a really... It's maybe not what I would do. Mm. I would personally make the brand split a very distinct thing and then use those two brands to build up loads of guys. So you've got all these people on Raw, and you've got a proper main event scene and a mid-card scene, and then you've got SmackDown with a proper main event scene and a proper mid-card scene. There's loads of people who can be exposed weekly like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happened, and it's exactly what happened with the old brand split when you started to get these super shows, is WWE lose interest or the ratings fall and they have a panic move where they start to blur the lines and they just go, okay, so we've got a few top stars on SmackDown, a few top stars on Raw. Rather than building up more top stars for those brands, they just say, well, let's have those top stars on all the shows,
mm-hmm.
so you get to see Shane McMahon twice a week rather than once, Roman Reigns twice a week rather than once, and it overexposes them, and it doesn't, yeah. So that's, I would just make distinct brands
yeah.
that don't cross over
exactly.
and book them well.
Yeah, basically, just do it better, is what we're saying. But yeah, I'm absolutely the same as you. I love the brand split and everything that comes with it, and I think the... For how convoluted and stupid the Survivor Series normal stipulation is of Raw versus SmackDown and having the one night of year where Raw and SmackDown go head-to-head in direct competition, that's really dumb because the brand split means nothing. But if they made the brand split mean something, that would actually be a cool stipulation to have for Survivor Series. That would actually mean something, and it would be cool if they had, like, the winner of Raw versus SmackDown at Survivor Series gets the number 30 spot in the Royal Rumble or something. They put something to it and they made Raw and SmackDown feel like two separate entities that occasionally, or I say occasionally, one night a year, go head to head. That would be great. And like you said, it gives them so much more room to build so many more stars. They just don't build more stars. You have so much more time. You have 5 hours a week, 3 on Raw and 2 on SmackDown. All of that time can be spent to build new stars and give fans the big stars that you've already made. And they're just like, well, we've made one. Let's put that everywhere because that's the only one we've got. When in reality, you have so much more time to build other stars that you would have 10 big stars on your hands that you can then disperse where you like. And that would just make everything better. It would make the fans happy. It doesn't overexpose anyone. No one gets bored of the product. And then the ratings increase. And I know that sounds really simple while we're sitting here talking about it. Obviously, it's a lot more difficult than that in practice. But we've seen how simple it is. This year alone, we've seen how simple it is to build a star out of nowhere. Kofi Kingston, put him in a match, let him tell a story. Boom, he's over. One match. That's all it took, is one match for Kofi Kingston to become an absolute top star in the company. Who's to say that that can't happen more if people were given the chances to do so?
Like, yeah. It's the most talented roster in any promotion in all of history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, even better, New Japan right now have loads of incredible in-ring talents. But WWE actually has hundreds.
Yeah.
Because the company's so big and they've just gathered up all of the best in-ring wrestlers in the world.
Mm.
Like, maybe the top guys, like Omega, Ospreay, and Okada, I would say, they're split between AEW and New Japan. But everyone else is with WWE,
mm-hmm.
really. And the problem with the brand split is, and it's a similar thing with communism, like, the idea might be theoretically good,
mm-hmm.
or at least worth a punt.
Yeah.
And in the first bits of the brand split, I think we are all like, yeah, this is cool, faction warfare.
Mm-hmm.
But just like communism, no one's ever done it right, have they? Practicality, the execution is very difficult, and it gives way to just one person dominating everything rather than equality for all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that tends to be what happens with WWE. They start off like this, but then they get tired and they fall back. And yeah, so let's just say, for the purposes of this discussion, that the brand, just doing the brand split better, isn't an option.
Okay. Yes.
So this is where Lance Storm's idea comes in really quite well. One of the ideas to increase the ratings, and I initially, after the first week or so, I was behind the wild card idea, because the second week of the wild card, it genuinely was a bit like, oh man, what a roster WWE have. You've got Sami Zayn now with Kofi Kingston, and then Roman Reigns does feel like a big time presence. Kofi and Seth in the same ring, even though that was how it was sort of after WrestleMania anyway,
mm-hmm.
with a superstar shakeup. So the wild card was good, but now you've got to a point where it doesn't mean anything. That, like, the wild card rule is about as stuck to as the brand split, where this week on SmackDown, the limit is 4 acts. that could be as many as 20 people.
Yeah.
You could just have, like, the Undisputed Era would count as one.
Yeah.
Lucha House Party as one.
Mm-hmm.
But this week they had six individual wrestling acts, which is way above what they were meant to do. So even the wildcard rule isn't working. Mm-hmm. So Lance's idea of... And there's so much confusion over who decides the wild cards.
I think that's the main problem with the wild card, is when they introduced it, you could tell it was a panic move because it hadn't been thought through at all. They said it's going to be three talents, and then later on they were like, four instead. And then they provided no rules as to how it's made. No one knows whether someone can just freely walk over or they have to be given permission to go over. The Usos said they can go to SmackDown because it's Roman's yard now and they can just go. So is that different to the wild card? Are they part of that? They don't explain anything, which makes it so much worse, because then when someone shows up, you're like, oh my god, it's this thing. Like, maybe like a heel shows up on Raw and you're like, oh, Shane McMahon, he's forced that heel to go over to Raw, boo, and that he's allowed them to do that thing and interrupt in this match or whatever it is. But then if someone turns up, you're just like, I guess they just turned up now. And I think that's the biggest problem with the wild card, is there's no rules, there's no stipulations to it, so you can't get invested in it because it just changes. No one cares, so why should the viewer? That's the main problem, I think, for
me. Yeah, totally. So I guess the best way is to formalize it.
Mm.
And if you really do want your top stars going across both brands, the way to do that is to have your champions. That in theory, your champions should be amongst your top stars, at least. So Lance's idea is to unify all the belts.
Mm-hmm.
So just one set of tag champs, just one world champion, just one mid-card champion, so the United States and Intercontinental titles together. It's effectively what the women's tag team champions are right now, and that the Iconics can float between the brands. And it does, like, from an outside viewer, if you're getting into WWE now, I would imagine it's quite confusing. Like, oh, so there's two world champions.
Yep.
How does that work with the, oh, one's the universe.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's bigger.
WWE or universe. Yeah, that one's bigger. Yeah.
So, I fell out of fandom when the first brand split was introduced, just before, and I came back to it a couple of years later. And it always kept me at arm's length. I was like, well, it's a bit weird that there's two world champions, and especially like a couple of years later, the world heavyweight champion or whatever one was on SmackDown was just seen as the opener. It was the new mid-card belt, really.
It was the mid-card belt, yeah.
Rather than being treated as it's a brand's distinct top title. And Kofi's WWE championship is pretty good at the moment because they booked him so strong.
Mm-hmm.
But if they keep booking him against Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens, these people who have been presented like mid-card acts, it's just going to keep on feeling that way. So unifying the championships would, in theory, help the prestige of the titles.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gets around the wild card thing.
Yeah, so I think I'm very hesitant to unify titles in the first place, just because that's less things for people to fight for. When WWE have a roster the size they do, there's already not enough time for everyone to get featured and everyone to be pushed and everyone to be spotlighted in the correct way. When you take away things for people to be fighting for, that means you then need more storytelling. You need more feuds. You need more writers working on various things like that. So when you have less titles to fight for, it becomes more exclusive and I think more prestigious for the top guys to fight for that one title. But then everyone else that would have maybe held the Intercontinental but now isn't in the combined title picture, they fall into nothingness because they now have nothing to fight for. So that, I think you might see a smaller roster of more stars in theory, but the huge roster that they have, some of the more outside talents that might have got a shot at the Intercontinental or the US might just fall into nothingness off the end of it.
Yeah.
So I'm hesitant to form titles together. However, if you have a distinct brand split and all your stars on Raw and all your stars on SmackDown stay on their brands, but the only ones that go over are the champions, that makes the champions feel really big time.
Mm.
That makes your champions feel really special because you're like, these guys are over here, but these guys can go anywhere because they've earned that right because they beat this guy for this championship, and that means a lot. And that makes your titles feel great and your champions feel even more respected and prestigious. And that would be great. That would be a great side effect of it. So I think there's definitely pros and cons, but I think overall it might be a good thing. It's really hard to say because it depends what way they go with it, because they can always screw it up.
Yeah, so that there are a couple of problems with it. So all those guys who no longer have a title to fight for, something that's been missing in WWE for quite a while, and it's something I used to love, is the number one contendership fight.
Oh my God, yes.
So while you've got the main title feud going on, you've also got another feud going on just for the right to get the next shot, mm-hmm. which elevates that title even more, fleshes out the main event scene. So that's something they could do. But if you've got the champions on both brands, and say you've got AJ Styles is feuding with Seth Rollins on Raw, but then Seth Rollins goes over to SmackDown. We saw it with Becky Lynch. Does he then have another feud on SmackDown with someone else? Or do you just keep, for that pay-per-view cycle, Seth Rollins on Raw and SmackDown is headlined by the Intercontinental title holder?
Mm-hmm.
Which could damage SmackDown's perception as a B brand. So it is a difficult thing to juggle,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately.
Because then you could end up with a similar situation with where we were before, where you have the top title on a Raw feud, Seth Rollins versus whoever, and then you have your mid-card Intercontinental US championship holder over on SmackDown, and then that's just where they stay. They stop doing the cross-brand thing, and then they have all their top stars on Raw, and they have all the mid-carders on SmackDown, and that's where those feuds happen.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a place they could get to, because it's easier to keep it that way instead of having to think, well, they could go over here and have a feud with this person. You could just say, well, we'll just keep them here in Baron Corbin's mid-card of Vortex. And mid-card of Vortex? Yeah, that's what it said. Mid-card Vortex. And then you can just have them constantly feuding with each other over on Raw, which is something that they're quite liable to do. And then you have all your mid-card feuds over on SmackDown, and then it just comes exactly what we had. Mm. It's like the World Heavyweight Championship being the mid-card. It's the same thing.
What you're suggesting, Pete, is we just need long-term booking and forethought put into this.
I mean, yeah.
It's a lofty expectation.
All we need is a brand split done right. That's it.
Let us know what you thought in the comments below, whether this is a viable idea. I think overall I was leaning towards no there. If I had to make you say yes or no,
I'd say no.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth talking about.
Yeah, but put the comments down below. Of course, press the thumbs up as well. Subscribe button. But now, let's get into your Patreon mailbag.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
While Luke's away, we won't have any crap gimmick wrestling submissions, unfortunately, because We don't know where they are.
No, I think they get emailed to Luke, right?
Yeah.
So we don't have access to Luke's account, Luke's email account, and he forwarded me some stuff for the podcast, but none of the crap gimmicks, so we don't have any.
But they'll be back soon. Luke's only got one more week away.
One more week away, and then after that they'll be back. So fear not.
Chat us up with some Patreon mailbags. Of course, if you want to have your questions answered on the WrestleRamble Saturday edition, go over to Patreon and become a pledge hammer. And anyone who donates can post in the community tab, put mailbag in the subject heading, and we'll answer them on the show.
Mm-hmm. So we've got one from that guy who wants to support, who says, "Hello, everyone, except the WrestleTalk number one enemy, Mr. Skip Sheffield."
Ooh, oof. Maybe his number two enemy now.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got a lot of people on our backs now. What is your favorite performance from a wrestler in a film?
Batista, Drax,
Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. That's really easy. Really, really easy.
Next.
If we're not saying, if we're excluding Guardians of the Galaxy, because it's MCU and that's different, I guess. The Rock, Fast and Furious 5.
Yeah, it's probably Hobbs, isn't it?
Yeah, he's pretty good at that.
While you say 5, I might say 7, because he did kick a nuclear missile while ice skating.
Haven't seen 7.
Or was it 8?
I think I've seen 7. I haven't seen 8. I've watched up to and including... 7 was the one where they had Ronda Rousey and then they drove the car out of the skyscraper.
Yes.
Across to the other one. That was 7.
You know, my expectations were so ridiculously high for that movie. Mm-hmm. I was underwhelmed by that scene. Fast and Furious 6 is one of the most exhilarating cinema experiences I've ever had.
I really liked Fast 6. And it's stupid, but I love Fast 6.
And it ended with the Stath appearing.
Yeah.
Which was like... the ultimate... I feel like that whole movie is booked like a wrestling card. And you've got the surprise return. That was Jon Moxley running in at the end, having the Stath appear.
Of course,
and I had high expectations for 7. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now Hobbs and Shaw...
Yeah, August 2nd that comes out.
The Rock and the Stath together. Oh,
I mean, you already had The Rock and Vin Diesel. And now you got Rock and Stath.
But Stath is better than Diesel. They're different. They're different.
They're different.
They're different sort of appeals.
I always admire Vin Diesel's voice, though.
Yeah.
How he can go so low is beyond me.
It's not his real voice.
It's so gravelly all the time.
Puts it on.
Yeah, definitely. We've got another one from Nicholas Andrews. He said, if you have to see one, which would you rather see? Baron Corbin defeats Seth Rollins to win the title at Stomping Grounds in a boring 25-minute match of just rest holds, or Shane defeats Seth for the title in the main event of SummerSlam? That's a hard one.
Shane and Seth at SummerSlam. Because at least that will be a kind of Shane McMahon match. And say what you will about Shane as a performer, his big time pay-per-view matches are usually quite spectacular.
That's true.
Yeah. So at least... there'll be a load of bonkers stuff happening.
Yeah, yeah, that's a very good point, actually.
And the way WWE has presented him, there is storyline justification for having him as a very unworthy champion for a babyface to unseat. This is a rock and a hard place.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
And I'm not talking the good kind of rock and a hard place, like the literal Rock and Jason Statham's abs when pressed in between them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bad kind.
It's the bad kind of rock and hard place. I'm probably going to have to agree with you. I was originally going to say Corbin, but then because I was thinking, well, it's not SummerSlam, then you can have someone just win it off him the next pay-per-view and whatever. We'd have a bad match and that's fine, whatever. We have bad matches all the time. But now I'm thinking that, like, at least we'll get something out of it with Shane. And it's going to be funny as well. If Shane wins, I'm just going to laugh too much. As like a jaded wrestling fan, not in a good way, like... It's bad for casual viewers to watch that and just be like, that's bad. But for me personally, I'll enjoy it loads.
I think it'll be more funny as a joke to have Corbin lock on a 25-minute rest hold and then Seth to eventually tap.
That would be amazing.
Or pass out from boredom.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be so much
better. They drop the arm.
Yeah. And he's just like, no, I'm done now. Cool. We've got another from Damian Wade Wilson Fisk. Who says, how did you convince SoCal Val to be part of Screen Stalker?
Because she's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we sort of knew her in another circle anyway. We asked her if she wanted to be a part of it. She's a huge movie fan. She's got a weirdly encyclopedic knowledge of just actors. If you're like, yeah. You say, who is that? And she'll go, oh, it's this person who's been in this.
They were married to this person.
Yeah. It's like, you are IMDb.
Yeah, she really is. And she likes everything. She's so optimistic about everything. Even when stuff really sucks, she's like, no, it's great.
Yeah, it's tough sometimes. She'll come in and goes, oh my God, have you seen... I can't do her accent.
You can.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, guys.
Joey Styles. Yeah. Oh my God, what did you think of Game of Thrones? And she'll have a big beaming smile on her face and we'll all go, she'll be like, you didn't like it?
Yeah. Classic Val, that.
But it's a good antidote to our world-weary cynicism.
I just wish I had her optimism about everything. I'm very jealous of it. We got another from John Smith. He says, good afternoon, Pete, Ollie, Laurie, Randy, and also Luke, who won't hear it, but still, nice to know. Do you think Baron Corbin could ever flourish as a face? He has a great look and cool music, excellent mic skills, and I think he has a unique moveset when he isn't forced into doing rest holds and other typical heel stuff. Or do you think he could be like Elias / Miz before 2019, where he'd only work well as a heel? Keep up the good work, and it's great to see Pete feature more. Thanks. Now we need more Laurie on podcasts.
So, I would say Corbin was a face at the start of his run. In NXT, when he was just squashing people as the Lone Wolf, and the crowd would like start, as soon as the bell rung, the crowd would start counting. One, two, three.
So
just be boom, end of days, pin. He was over as a badass tweener, if anything. And then that sort of collided into a feud with Paul Dempsey.
Yeah.
I believe it was. And that was really good stuff. He wasn't full on heel. But I think that ship has sailed.
Yes.
He's been this form of Baron too long. And he's not Bray Wyatt. He's not going to be able to magically transform his character like Bray has.
No.
So he did flourish as a face briefly. But I can't see that ever coming back.
See, I'd be hesitant to say never.
Yeah.
Just because no one ever really knows what's going to happen in wrestling as a whole.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that completely surprised you. I would have said you would never see Kofi Kingston as a WWE champion ever because he's been a mid-card act for like 10 years. Never going to break through to the top scene. But he did. And I think they've raised a very good point saying that Baron Corbin's moveset is one that people can pop for big. With Deep Six, End of Days, his run around the ring post thingy that he does. He's got a really good moveset.
Yeah.
So I think he'd need a hard reset and he'd need time away from the audience to start with. But I think there's a way. I can't tell you exactly what it is, but I think there's a way to make him a face and be good at it. Maybe.
Usually my answer is, well, go to AEW.
Yeah.
But he doesn't feel like that sort of guy. He feels very much like I'm a WWE guy.
Absolutely. And I think he works well in WWE. I think his style works very well for it. I'd like to see him as a face, honestly, because I want to like Baron. I want to like him.
You can like him as a mid-card, properly exposed heel.
That's true. He's a very good heel, and I like the things he does. Yeah. I just don't like him because he's overexposed. I want to like him, though, because he's cool. We've got another one from Mr. One, who apparently, Randy Datsun has added a note saying that he tried to do his Super Showdown predictions after the show had started.
Love those people.
Can't do that, because the show's already started. Shocking. He says, unpopular opinion, Becky's been flattened out because her in-ring work doesn't live up to her character. Sure, she's safe and proficient, but nothing spectacular. I guess you could say the same about Cena, but Cena's character was completely different.
But Cena's appeal was never flattened out. There was always loud reactions.
Mm-hmm.
I think I do know what you mean, because out of all the people, Becky isn't the most spectacular in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would probably put all the other horsewomen above her, actually, with Sasha at the top, Charlotte, then Bayley, if I had to rank them.
Yeah.
But as the complete package promo-wise... and sort of that crossover into the mainstream, I'd have her tied with Charlotte.
Yeah.
That's probably an unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Charlotte's really good.
Mm.
So I don't agree. I think she was quite quite obviously flattened out by the booking from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania. And crucially, when she apologized to the McMahons for no reason and no storyline payoff.
Yeah.
That was, she was an anti-authority character. And she apologized to Stephanie and Trips.
Yeah.
It really took the wind out of the sails. Not immediately, but that was when it started to decline. And yeah. that whole storyline was completely overbooked.
Absolutely.
The other thing is, I don't think you need to be an amazing in-ring worker to be a mega mainstream star.
No, that's true.
I think if you've got the look and the promo ability and you're a 10 in those areas, you could get by with like a 6 or 7 in the ring.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can't be terrible in the ring, of course. But, no. Well, then again.
Goldberg.
Hogan.
Yeah.
He wasn't very good at wrestling, really.
Yeah.
That might be an unpopular opinion. I don't know. But I slightly agree with this, but I think it's more of a booking problem again, in that I think her matches have been booked to be very wrestling. And her her character isn't very wrestling. She's more like a Stone Cold, just come down, punch you, beat you up, kick you and leave kind of thing. And then her matches, she just like rest holds and arm drags and things like that, which doesn't quite correlate. But again, I think that's not her fault. That's a booking problem, because then we need to have a wrestling match when her character doesn't feel like a wrestling. Well, it feels like a wrestling character, but doesn't feel like a character who would wrestle. It's just a character who would fight. And I think that's a key difference for it. So I don't think it's necessarily Becky's fault, but I do get what you're saying with it.
Yeah, because all of the most, the biggest times she's connected on that level are her brawls with Charlotte.
Yeah.
And it's,
or
yeah,
when
it's,
she got
it's
punched in the face by Nia.
Yeah, so it's something real feels shooty. Let's have one more, because we've got to, unfortunately, get out of here.
Mm.
We've got some super secret special stuff to do that we'll announce on Monday.
Yay.
Exciting.
Very exciting.
But yeah, apologies for the quick ramble this week.
We've got Darth Almo, who says, I have a feeling that WWE is trying to recreate the Attitude Era, Mr. McMahon character, but with Shane McMahon, only with PG era elements. I say this in light of recent news that Shane will be the one to dethrone Kofi for the WWE title. What do you guys think? Well, first off, that is purely a rumor from WrestleVotes.
It's not even a rumor.
It's WrestleVotes just speculating. He was literally just like, I reckon there might be a booing Shane for Kofi. And that was it.
It's not even that. It's one of their sources backstage says,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if
Yeah.
It's like that was a tweet on the backstage feelings.
Mm-hmm.
No actual plans.
No, none at
and
all.
And he's very clear about that. And we've been very clear about that whenever we've said it. So yeah. But it's sometimes things take a life of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. Maybe not the Mr. McMahon character, but the McMahons see themselves as the biggest stars in the company.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they've harped on the same kind of angle since the Stone Cold days. They have the Mr. McMahon character. They'll put in a McMahon to be a heel authority figure, to have the babyface try and overcome them. They did it just with Becky Lynch in the lead-up to WrestleMania. They had Stephanie McMahon constantly and Triple H constantly belittling her.
And Kofi Kingston with
and
Vince.
And Kofi Kingston with Vince. They constantly do the McMahon character. So they're building Shane more than the other ones, I'd say, because the other ones were kind of already there.
Hmm.
And it's like, oh, we're here, we're the authority. And now with Shane, it's like, it's a steady build, and he's putting himself over as a wrestler. So I get what they're trying to say with the Vince comparison with the WWE title. I don't think he's going to win it, though. I really hope not, anyway, because I would be furious.
Maybe he'll get really close, and then Brock Lesnar will cash in.
That's not a bad shout. I like that.
But Shane is just, Vince McMahon is one of the better wrestling promos of all time.
Absolutely.
Shane is
not
in the bottom third
yeah.
of wrestling promos of all time. He's not an engaging screen presence. He's an engaging bump taker.
Oh, very much so. So we have another email here. We've got Wacky Crespo is apparently a name.
Wacky Crespo.
Apparently.
One of these days, it's going to be their actual name.
Yeah.
And we're going to have made fun of someone who's presumably been tormented their entire life.
Absolutely.
By their parents who presumably didn't want them and called them something like this.
I won't read out their actual name because I think it's in their email address that they sent it
off. Sure.
But I don't think their first name is Wacky.
Wacky Crespo.
Yeah. Who says, hello, Ollie, Pete, Laurie Blake. Sorry. Hello, Ollie, Pete, Laurie, Blake Ham, and maybe, just maybe, Andy Randy Datkinson.
No, no, it doesn't work. No.
And he said, not Luke, because he's away in Peru doing Peru things. As I listened to the Wrestle Ramble, I was curious about your thoughts on how some people wipe their bums standing up. As one of those people myself, I think this comes from the first time you have to do it yourself, as there is not any code to follow, you just need to learn on the spot. As this happens, a kid would think, hey, how do I look if I wiped well or not? Thus making him stand up to have a better look. If this mechanic is followed, you will end up wiping standing up.
I don't think that follows.
And then there's a little bit that I'm not going to read out because it's a bit, I'm not going to say graphic, but he explains in a bit more detail about that. And then he says, thanks for all your work you put in. You're consistently consistent product. And then he said, bonus question, what do you think about opening a channel in another language? Here in Spain, we have no quality wrestling content. Many people don't really understand podcasts in English. If this was ever a thing, I'll be sure to send in the first one to send in my CV.
Muy bueno.
Muy bueno.
Pescado.
Claro.
Biblioteca.
Biblioteca. See, I
¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
Yeah, I learned Spanish at A level, believe it or not. I got a B. I was okay at Spanish at one point. Forgotten everything about it at this point. But I remember one phrase I always learned for Spanish, which was like a beyond A-level phrase that one of my teachers told me. They said, well, if you use this, it'll be really good. So I shoehorned it in into every possible vocal answer and essay that I wrote, which is, ojalá pudiera concluir diciendo que, which means I wish I could conclude by saying that.
That's just fluff.
I know.
That's what people say when they filibuster.
Exactly, yeah. But I remembered that one phrase and I just inserted into everything that I could.
Nice.
So every essay I had to write in Spanish, I'd end it by saying, I wish I could conclude by saying this, but I can't. Yada, yada, yada. It was great.
I like how the more advanced versions of anything are just adding more words that mean nothing.
Exactly. It's a load of fluff. Wiping bum standing up.
Yeah.
Then it said,
I don't think it gives you a better view. I think you can still get that view from sitting down.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm in absolutely the same agreement because there's a thing called just like tilting to the side as you sit down. That's all it is. And then you got enough room to
go through the middle.
Yeah,
I don't personally. But
I don't. No.
Another question, now that we're in the bathroom.
Oh, here we go. Bathroom talk.
What does your paper usage look like?
Are you saying that you fold or scrunch? Is that what you're after?
Well, I'm quite, because I've always been, I just don't like waste of anything.
Fair.
It physically pains me. I remember my cousin used to do this when we were like 7 years old. Mm-hmm. He'd draw on a piece of paper and then rip up the paper and just throw it away because he didn't like the drawing and start anew. Oh my God, there's another side to that. but it followed me through into the toilet.
Right.
Where I only use one sheet at a time.
Okay.
But I fold it.
Okay.
And then I wipe.
Into like a stamp size bit of paper?
No, into just like a long...
One sheet. One square sized thing like
so
this.
So it starts off as a square, but then you fold it and it's into a rectangle.
Uh-huh.
And obviously you go long lengthways.
Lengthways,
you're not just going to...
Yeah, okay.
That's a lot of waste. And yeah, that's how I do it.
That.
So I'm both a fold and a wonner. I'm not saying it's done in one. I'm saying I might need multiple.
You just use one at a time.
One at a time.
Okay.
And my lady partner says that she thinks I'm using more than her method. I can't believe I've said this.
Right.
Which is the scrunch. You know, just grab a load, not counting, and you scrunch up. I said, I think you'll be surprised. And I did count, and I was on top. I use less paper.
For those who don't know, Ollie is hyper competitive.
No, I just want, it's not a competitiveness thing. If it helps the world.
So, no, I don't use one sheet at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say probably from my experience of other people that I know, I would say most people don't use one sheet at a time.
I think that's wrong.
And I agree with you in a sense that I don't like waste. However, so I don't like take a massive load and scrunch it and stuff. I'm a folder personally, but I'll normally take like three sheets, fold, maybe use that once or twice, and then I'm fine, and that'll be it. But the thing is, mine though, it's a weird conversation. God. So I do like three sheets and fold it into like one like square
Uber sheet,
like one.
It's a sheet that's three ply.
Essentially. So it's the same size as like one sheet. I'll use it and then I'll like fold that and use this like another side of the
so
same sheet.
Made a crap
sheet.
Sandwich.
Essentially.
And why then, am I the weird one?
And then I'll use that one until there's no more room to use it. And then I'll, you know, throw that away. So I'm doing essentially the same thing as you, but not quite, because I don't run the risk of, you know, my finger splitting through the one
it's
sheet because it's too
happen.
Thin.
It's not, my fingers aren't points.
Yeah, but, okay, I'm guessing you have quite nice toilet paper then, because there's some toilet paper, like budget ones, where it's just too thin. You just go straight through, you know?
Yeah, well, I use recycled bamboo toilet paper.
Of course you do!
It's the most, it's got quite a funny name. It's called Who Gives a Crap.
That's good.
But I guess this is a new debate. To the toilet.
Here we go. So is this, what's this one called? I don't know.
Fold or scrunch?
No, because that's not just fold or scrunch. It's like paper use. How many sheets do you use? I don't know. We'll do another really quick email and then we'll end it off. And this one comes in from Andy Burgess,
mm-hmm.
who says, "Hello, Pete, Ollie, Laurie, housemate Hyman, and unfortunately the forgotten dat son, because this email is for him."
The forgotten dat sons.
He said, "I also used to dread splashback, especially in public bathrooms, but was conscious about the amount of toilet paper I would use, so I was forced to take the hit. Alas, no longer. Two years ago, I adopted a plant-based vegan lifestyle and have never experienced splashback since."
Because he doesn't poo at all anymore.
Yeah. My poos now create less splash than Tom Daly. Probably too much information, but I thought Randy would like to know. Thanks for the consistency. Love you, bye."
Hopefully what's going on down there is also consistent.
Ideally. But that's very interesting. Vegan lifestyle, no splashback.
I don't think Andy's going to adopt that because he laughs in the face of any kind of health.
That's true, yeah.
Though he has started going to the gym this week.
He has, and he does play some sports, so I hear.
Well.
Scores some touchdowns every so often.
He stands in the goal. He's a goalkeeper.
Oh, my, he's a goalie. No wonder he gets quarter of a point each time he does sport on the tally.
No, I'm scrapping that quarter of a point. We haven't talked about that. We've got a point base. That now it's making me sound really competitive.
We talked about it in the NXT round,
I think.
But have you seen that Simon has got 3 points for going to the driving range?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Simon's a special case. Simon gets... I've worked that out for him. I think that's fair.
Uh-huh.
But Laurie only gets half a point for climbing for an hour.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, makes total sense.
Simon also might download an app to track his diet, which I think should be worth at least 5 points.
At least five.
Yeah.
It's basically the same as five gym sessions.
For Simon, he's doing really well.
He is, yeah. Well, as long as that helps him get in his Wrestle League predictions on time, then I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for the weekend edition of the Wrestle Ramble podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Ollie and I will be back on Tuesday with the Raw Wrestle Ramble and review. Sorry about the shorter length of this one, but as we said, we're a bit stretched for time. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys later. Love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.